So do you ever have one of those times in your life where everything seems to be going well, but it all gets turned upside down in a moment? I mean, there you are. Everything is just fine, thank you. Your friends even think that you're killing it, and then you're off balance. Everything's changed. You know, after your world changes, you keep trying, you keep pushing, but it's harder than before. And no one around them knows. I mean, to them, they might think everything smells like turkey and dressing and all the fixings, but for you, it's just bread and water. Enough of the metaphors. Let's go to our scripture, because it talks about a time like that in Paul's life, what you could call Paul's lost years, where he doesn't say much about what happened to him, but there are some clues you can find elsewhere in scripture. So let's jump in. Galatians chapter 1, out of our reading, verses 11 through 24. Here we go. Galatians 1, 11 through 24. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, notice that wording, set me apart from my mother's womb, even before he was born, Paul saw God had a purpose for him. God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. My immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praised God because of me. Paul's lost years. Did you catch him? 3 of them after he came to Jesus. Verse 17, he describes the time immediately after his conversion. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. Not 1 week, not 2. Paul is precise about things. 15 days, exactly. But what about those 3 years? And why is he telling the Galatians that? Well, there was trouble in the Galatian church. You see, it was a church of non-Jewish believers primarily, but false teachers had come in to tell them that they had to follow the rituals of Judaism to the letter, or they would not be saved. And you can imagine how those teachers attacked Paul behind his back. Paul, who was a Jew, whose main ministry was to Gentiles, non-Jewish believers, and that's why he talks about how the gospel, the good news that he preaches, that's the meaning of the gospel, weren't from human origin, but from Jesus himself. So he shares this personal history. Look at verse 14. Advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age, and then he also talks about being extremely zealous, right, for the traditions of his forefathers. And then he says in verses 15 and 16, God set me apart for this so that I might preach to your people, basically. And he underscores this by saying that he didn't go to Jerusalem to meet with Peter first because, and here's his reasoning, if God sends you, why do I need to go to Peter to get his blessing? What do you need man's approval for? But then he talks about Arabia, and it makes you wonder, why there? What happened there? And there's a lot that we don't know, but one of the things we do know is that we don't see a record initially of a church in that place. Oh, eventually it would come over time, but Paul was hitting hard ground in that dry soil. So the painting on the front of the bulletin is Paul in Arabia. It's an old painting. But the place he's talking about is Arabia Petraea, the kingdom of Nabatea, which was on a flourishing trade route, but it was not under Roman authority. And we know this because, biblically, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 32, Paul writes, in Damascus, the governor, King Aretas, had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. So King Aretas, who was king of Nabatea, the Arabia that Paul is talking about, was after him. Apparently, really after him. Why? Well, again, we don't know. But why did Paul get in trouble in other places? Just for being faithful to his calling and preaching about Jesus. And that would stir things up in a number of ways. First of all, with established religions that may have had businesses. Think about what happened in Ephesus, for example. But also, spiritually speaking, when you go into dark places with light, there will be pushback. So many scholars believe it was simply because he was preaching the good news of Jesus. And it makes sense if you think about his history. Okay, but what does any of this have to do with us? Well, remember that Paul had come to Jesus and was now doing his best to follow him. And as soon as he does, there's trouble. But that can happen, right? I mean, sometimes it's not because you're doing anything wrong, but it's because you're doing something right that trouble comes. And that was definitely the case for Paul. Our adversary, the devil, who is more real than he likes to let on, will do anything to discourage us in our faith and keep us from even in the smallest way pointing others to Jesus. But what Paul shows us here is that you and I must keep going. Because God is faithful. God called us, and He will see us through. And you see that here in Paul's life. It's a short lesson, but it matters. Let's pick up in verse 19. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard this report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praised God because of me. There it is. They praised God because of me. That's a good place to be. That's where Paul has wanted to be all along. People praising God because of the work that he's doing. And God used everything that Paul went through and brought good out of it. And he was doing it again in this moment for the Galatians, because Paul could point to what God did in his life as evidence that the church there needed. That being a believer in Jesus isn't about following a list of rules. As he would write only a little later in chapter 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then. There's a reason he went to Arabia. There was a reason he suffered for his faith there. It drove him closer to Jesus and helped him learn to depend on him for everything. And dear one, we need to take this to heart in those places where you and I, you know, come up against, it's like, why is this happening? Why now at all times? Because the truth is, sometimes you and I just do not know. We don't know why God allows some of the things that he does. We may have tried our best to prevent those circumstances, and yet they occur. And does that mean that God isn't with you? Does that mean that God isn't there? Not at all. It just means that sometimes, especially when times are harder, that we have trouble seeing that. That we have trouble holding on to that. I think of what William Cooper wrote, "Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence," in other words, what we seem to see, "he hides a smiling face. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain. He is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain." And he does. But our part in that place is to just keep walking with him through it, in spite of the questions, in spite of the hurt, in spite of the pain at times. And the beautiful thing is that as we turn to him, he will get us through that. He will show himself faithful. And it may not be that the circumstances somehow suddenly work out for us. They may still continue for years. But it doesn't mean that God isn't at work in them. And I think Paul is starting to get a grasp of that. It's a lesson we need to take to heart when it seems like weeks or months or even years are lost. God is still in them. Paul's ministry in Arabia wasn't a failure, even though we don't have a church that comes out of there early on. God was working with Paul. And there is no doubt that what happened with Paul shaped his character so that when he encountered other things, man, he was a force to be reckoned with. And I wonder what God is doing in you and doing in me as you and I face these circumstances. Scripture speaks of him as the potter, right? Speaks of us as the clay. Our tendency is to make it all about us, right? Like Jeremiah wrote, well, does the pot say to the clay or to the potter, basically, why are you doing this? I mean, that is our natural tendency. But how good is God to hold us still, continue to shape us, and build us, and eventually use us for his purposes. Paul has learned to identify with Christ in his sufferings. If Jesus suffered and was obedient, I need to learn that too, he reasoned. And he wrote about that in several places. But in this same book, Galatians, Paul would write, the life I live in the body, first he starts that verse by saying, it's no longer I who live. I've been crucified with Christ, he says. And then he says, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And why is that important to him? Why does that, I mean, you know, how can you legitimately say with a straight face, I've been crucified with Christ? And that's a good thing. I mean, because you've heard that, right? The problem with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar, right? I mean, we know that. But, I mean, to be able to honestly say that and mean it, not just church talk, right? But, yeah. Where does Paul give us a hint that this is actually such a good thing? Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's like, this is the work of God's Spirit in my life, and I don't want to be anywhere else. These are the things God gives us, and as we lean into our Savior and trust, even when we cannot see, his love shows up. I mean, I think about that. I think about that. It's a personal story for me as I think about. And I'll wrap up with this. But my own kids, you know, as I've talked about many times, we're still praying for our daughter to come home to Jesus. I believe she received him at one point. But there are spiritual battles that we have encountered in this. And it would be very easy for some of you to judge me, and I thank you that you haven't. Because... You know, sometimes God allows us to go through circumstances. I mean, if I hadn't been through what I had been through, I never would have written Prayers for Prodigals. My soul would not have been moved to that place of you know, I mean, God made me a writer, I know that, so I guess I'm going to put some of my prayers down on paper out of this pain. that we're going through is we have an addicted son. At that time, our daughter was doing better. She doesn't wrestle with addiction, she wrestles with other things. But it's like, why? Why? As another elder in another church told me one time, James, I know you. I know how you raised your kids. And then he said, the truth is, kids make their own choices. And they do. And don't get me wrong, I made plenty of mistakes myself, no doubt about it, you know. But I used to laugh when James Dobson wrote his famous book, The Strong-Willed Child. Well, my daughter just hadn't been born yet. I'd be the guy that tells him one does not simply walk into Mordor, you know. And yet God used it and will be faithful. And I believe that, and I'm going to pray that way and keep believing that. And I know you and I have these places in our lives. Don't give up. Don't give up. And they may be known only to you, but those places where your heart hurts because you know it shouldn't be that way. Don't give up. Don't give up on God. Keep praying. He has ways of working things out. Hey, when I was running from God, I was running into international business because he gave me a gift for languages. It's like, oh, I can use that and make money. But then, you know, he has me write a book that now has been translated into... First language it went into was Dutch, which was like, yes, it's going to Amsterdam. then Portuguese, Japanese, that was a surprise, Spanish, all over the world. And I could never have seen that when I was in that circumstance. I could never have seen that. But he did it. He did it. I didn't. That's his work. And it came out of a painful place. But isn't that good? Because other people who are in those painful places can find hope because of the moving of the Spirit in that place. And maybe that's what comes out of your painful place. The moving of the Spirit there, God will use in someone else's heart and life. He knows. He will work it out as you stay close to Him. But you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Because it's like that place where Paul landed. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. All of those things that God is. No wonder that fruit comes. May we pray. Father, help us in this. We need you to help us in this. We can't. Unless you do. Because you know. But Lord, we praise you that you are good and that you came into a body of flesh and blood to save us and to show us the way home. And that even here, even now, you are home to us. And we praise you, this is only the beginning of the love that you call us into. So Abba, Father, have mercy on us. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. Jesus, help us to follow you. And thank you that you will. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Maybe just a moment before we go to the Lord's table. Maybe there's a place like that in your life right now. Give it to Him afresh. Give it to Him afresh. Get close to Him in it. Just bow before Him in it and say, Abba, Father. Here it is. Here it is. Lord, help me to be yours in this. Help me to trust you. Thank you that you are good. No matter what. Fill me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.